Let me open in a word of prayer, and then we'll proceed. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you that we are here assembled this morning. Thank you for what brings us together now in this hour to consider what you are doing here and how you have worked to bring together a ministry to children in this particular local church. What a wonderful gift all these children and young people are to this assembly and to our lives. We take very seriously the stewardship that is ours as parents and teachers and pastors to care for them, to love them, and most of all, to introduce them to Christ. We pray that you would make us to be fruitful in that work. We pray that many of them would come to know the Lord Jesus directly through the ministries of this congregation. We pray that for all of us here, you would excite us with something of the nobility and usefulness of ministry among children. May we all see this as worthy work, worthy of our prayers and our attention and our labors. Help us in this, we pray. Help those now who are ministering to children in the Sunday schools and in the youth classes. Encourage them and bless them in this work. Now help us as we consider these things together and all who will come and share. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick announcement about what's coming up for the Equip class. So next Sunday, we have a one-off class. We've come to the end of the Means of Grace class. We have this class today, and then next Sunday, our brother Rex Blackburn is going to teach a one-off class on Mormonism. So recently, numbers of folks in our church have been engaging with Mormons in our community. Also, Rex at one point had a ministry to Mormons through his home and his apartment complex and ministering to Mormons there. And he's going to share about Mormonism, what it is, how we ought to think about it as Christians, and how we might engage those who are caught up in that particular cult. So that will be next Sunday, 9:15, here in the sanctuary. He will lead that time, so we hope you'll be able to participate. And then the Sunday after, we'll split up into two classes. So one class, I'll send an email out about this soon, but one class will be on the doctrine of the church, and one class will be on walking with God through pain and suffering. And we have other classes that will be going on in those particular two classes as the semester proceeds, but I'll send an email out about that soon so you'll know what's coming. Marianne Gailey is a humble and godly woman that none of you have ever heard of. She is in her late 60s and or early 70s. She lives in Coconut Creek, Florida. She has been single her entire life. She was a Catholic nun in her 20s and 30s, but she left Roman Catholicism in the 1980s and embraced the biblical gospel, becoming a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church there in Coconut Creek. In that church, she has taught Sunday school for roughly 35 years. In that time, she has taught perhaps over 1,000 children, a couple hundred of whom have come to faith in Jesus Christ. For those children, their earliest impressions of God, eternity, heaven and hell, creation and providence, sin, grace, Jesus Christ, the cross, forgiveness, justification, and atonement, were all shaped by Miss Marianne. Other than my own parents and my childhood pastor, no one has been more formative in shaping my theology, my view of God and His grace, my hunger for the forgiveness of my sins, and my love for Jesus Christ than Miss Marianne. I've had the privilege of sitting under some of the world's greatest biblical scholars and theologians. I've known in my acquaintance well-known and prominent pastors, and yet none of them have influenced me more than Marianne Gailey, and I am certain I owe to her more than any other woman now breathing, save my own wife and my mother. Ministry to children is not held in the kind of esteem in which it ought to be held, and the way in which it was held in previous generations. But I assure you, from the standpoint of heaven, hardly anything is of greater importance in this life. And I am also certain that many of those who will be most honored in heaven and will be those who gave their lives to loving and serving the least of these. Theirs is true greatness from the perspective of the Lord. So it's with that said, I want to especially recognize and thank a number of our children's workers here, particularly those who have organized the ministry and provide some oversight to the ministry, particularly our sister Melissa Clark, who you'll hear from in a moment, who oversees the nursery ministry here at our church. Also Andrea Allen and Andrew Cartledge, who serve in the children's ministry, the kind of the grade school years, and then also Brad Kinnison, who helps to oversee youth ministry. And then all the various teachers, all the nursery workers. This is a good work that you all are engaged in. And we bless God for your humble efforts to love the children of this church. You've heard me say this before. If you've been with us for a while, it has so often been God's way of working throughout church history that it's in converting children through a godly seed, raising up boys and girls to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his most usual way of working in saving sinners, advancing his kingdom, and building his church. And so you are engaged very much in the front lines of the mission of the church and the ministry of Emmanuel in particular. Different ones are going to come and give a report on their particular area of ministry. I want to begin simply by highlighting what are the five core values that shape and direct our children's ministry here at Emmanuel. Each value is important and integral to what we are trying to accomplish here. So these are contained in our children's ministry manual. These are the five core values. Number one, we seek to partner with parents. So we recognize that parents of children and young people are their primary caretakers. They have a special responsibility and stewardship from God to care for their children and to love them in the Lord. And so we seek to come alongside you. We are not doing the work that only you can do. We are coming alongside you as partners, hopefully to help you in that work. And there's various ways we do this. Obviously, in our Sunday school ministry, we're seeking to provide regular teaching. But that ministry is best optimized if that comes home into the family setting and you ask your children about the things they're learning and can utilize those classes to provoke spiritual conversations and discipleship opportunities for your kids. You're going to hear from, I think, Andrew or someone here today about an effort we're going to have very soon, sending out a weekly newsletter to parents, at least through grade 8 or so, around there. Who will, basically, that's going to be a tool for you to know, here's what we're going through with the children. If you'd like to utilize this in family worship or questions at the dinner table or in schooling the kids or something like that, you'll have more information week by week on the things that we're covering. And if you want to be on that list, maybe you don't have kids, but you want to be on that list, we can happily send that email to you as well week by week. Also, I'll just mention this as well, because sometimes we get questions about this. We as the pastors of the church seek to partner with parents when there are questions about coming to faith and about baptism and things like that. So I want you to be clear that if your child or young person comes to you and says, you know what, Mom, Dad, I think that I have become a Christian. I think that I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've turned from my sins. I don't really know what to do next. I mean, I know people get baptized. I know that some join the church. Where do I go from here? Well, we're here for you. I want to partner with you in how to have those conversations with your kids. So the way that normally goes is that young person would come and sit for an interview with me and Pastor Ben. We just ask basic questions about what the gospel is, what they believe has happened in their heart, who their faith and trust is in. And then depending on how that time goes, we work with you to try to hear from you. Do you see evidence that your child has come to faith in Jesus Christ? Do you see evidence that they're disciples walking with the Lord? And then what we would do is we would arrange for someone in the congregation who might connect well with your child in particular to take them through a book or to go through a passage of scripture together or to have some basic months of discipling. So that's going on now with probably 5 or 6 young people in our church to help them in those early stages of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And then after that comes the new members class and baptism, etc. But that's something of the process. So if you have questions about that, what would it look like? You know, my 12-year-old has come to me saying they've put their faith and trust in Christ. Where do I go from here? Please come talk to us or talk to some of the children's and youth workers, and we'll walk you through that. We want to partner with parents. Number two, we teach the whole Bible. And so our effort is to teach them the whole counsel of God, to help them understand the major portions and themes of Scripture, to take them through biblical books, both in the Old and New Testament, and to help them understand how the Bible fits together. To understand something of the biblical storyline, or what some call the sort of redemptive historical line, to understand how the scriptures flow and how they point to Jesus Christ, how the Old Testament anticipates his coming, the New Testament reveals his coming and then reflects upon his coming and what that means for sinners. And so our effort is to help them understand and get a framework for the Bible and for theology and doctrine. And then, of course, we want to emphasize the person of Christ in all of our teaching of the Bible, as he is the emphasis and focal point of the scriptures themselves. And so there's a special emphasis on seeking to give to all of the children at every age and stage of life perfect clarity on who the person of Jesus is and what it is that he came to do in his incarnation, death, and resurrection. So there's a pronounced emphasis on the gospel, the good news, which in many ways is the focal point of the scriptures. Number three, so I talked about partnering with parents, teaching the whole Bible. Number three, very important, relying on the Holy Spirit. We recognize our children need our prayers. We recognize that God works salvation and sanctification through His Word and His Spirit, and therefore we plead with God to regenerate our children. I spoke about this a little bit in the sermon last Sunday about spiritual blindness and how we have the view of humankind that we are born dead in sin and spiritually blind. And so we're praying for God to convert our children. We don't assume that they're converted. And moreover, what we believe they need is not simply to memorize the catechism or to be able to tell the storyline of the Bible or to behave really well for mom and dad and in church or to get good grades and live a sort of productive life. We know their deepest need is that they would be brought from death to life, that they would be risen from the dead, that they would be brought from darkness to light. We believe that they are lost. We believe that they are dead in their sins and that they need to be converted by the supernatural power of God's Spirit. So it would have been a few months ago now, I was asked to give a devotional at the Children's Ministry kind of end-of-year review, and I chose to talk about original sin. And the reason for that was I wanted to make sure our teachers all have the mindset going into their classes that unless they discern otherwise through the evidence of regeneration, they should recognize I'm going into the mission field. I believe the children before me are lost outside of Christ. They're dead in their sins, and my lessons could be very well prepared, but unless the Spirit of God comes in power and opens their hearts to believe the truth, they're never going to be saved. And that perspective on the sinfulness of man, the power of the grace of God and His Spirit, the necessity of conversion and new birth, that perspective governs how we think about what we're doing in children's ministry. We want our teachers going in there seeking to win these boys and girls to Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God and His work of regeneration. Number four, modeling the Christian life. So not only do we want good teaching, not only are we praying for God's Spirit to work, we want all of our teachers and youth workers to model what it looks like to be a Christian. So we want in their conduct and in their manner of life to overflow in spiritual graces and in the virtues the Bible calls us to help our children understand what it means to follow Christ and what it means to be a Christian, what it looks like to be a Christian. And we hope that all those who are serving in our children's ministry are providing a compelling and attractive and winsome Christian witness, showing forth the character of God and the power of grace in the heart of those who would serve the kids. And then number five, very important, stewarding children and families. We recognize it's a great privilege to minister to children and families, a remarkable stewardship. It's been commented on several times. God has brought so many children and young people to Emmanuel. It's remarkable to see and hard to keep track of sometimes, just the sheer number of kids that are in these classes. And so we recognize it's our responsibility that this is a sacred trust you have given to us for your children. So that certainly has to do with, or informs the way we think about the safety of your children, and we have protocols and manuals in place to outline how it is that we care for children and how many workers are in each room and those kinds of things. But more than that, we also recognize it's an extraordinary spiritual trust. And so we take that very seriously. We would ask you to pray for those who are entrusted with this stewardship, that the Lord would help them to be faithful in that work. So these are some of our core values, some of the things shaping our view of children's ministry. I have talked long enough. I'm going to pass it on to Melissa Clark now and the others who are going to come and share about children's ministry here.
I'm not used to using a microphone, so please forgive me. I'll have to remember to look up. Good morning. My name is Melissa Clark, and I have the privilege of coordinating the nursery program. The nursery department has grown significantly in the past year. Praise the Lord. But in doing so, we have added some classes, so I'm going to kind of break that down and let you know what we have currently. We have two nursery classes during our equip hour and two classes during our worship hour, as well as one evening class that we offer for those that attend the service in the evening. Our goal, though, is to eventually offer three classes so that we have a class for our infants, a class for our walkers, ages 1.5 or whenever they're a strong walker to age 2, and then our third class would be 2 to 4. So those are the three classes that we would like to do eventually. As our numbers have increased, so have our needs, And this year we started to have two volunteers during our new infant equip class and three volunteers during our worship hour, as well as many of our wonderful youth have stepped up to start serving in our worship hour. My goal is to have a set rotation of volunteers for these specific hours. So I would like to have a set of volunteers during the equip hour, and then a set of volunteers during the service hour, worship hour, and then an evening set of volunteers. That way our volunteers don't get asked to do every single thing. We have several options for volunteer opportunities in our department if you are interested in participating. During the 9:15 equip hour, as I said, we have two classes where we need two adult volunteers. And these classes are the infants class, and then our new class, which we are starting in September, is our walkers to age two class. So those where we could use additional volunteers if anyone's interested. During the 10:30 worship hour, we have two classes that we get to care for. That is the infant class. And in that class, we have three volunteers. And then also in our preschool class, we have three volunteers. And as I said, some youth volunteers. And then Sunday evening, we only at this time offer one class where we have two volunteers assisting there. So those are our volunteer options and opportunities. Each volunteer must be a member of Emmanuel Church. We ask that each person that does want to volunteer read the family policy manual and sign an agreement to that family policy manual. And then volunteers, once all of this is completed, then I get to put you on a rotation. And so depending on the hour is and the volunteer number that I have is how often you'll be placed on this rotation. So does anybody have any questions? It's a lot at once. Yes. Yes, I would say that. And that's my next thing. Thank you. Good segue. Yes, we do need additional volunteers. We have been blessed with many that have stepped up. But as I said, I would like to start a set rotation. And in order to do that, I need additional volunteers. So if you're interested, just let me know. Each volunteer, this summer we began a new rotation of youth volunteers. Their energy and excitement has just bolstered our group. And we ask that any youth volunteers that are interested just to reach out to me, and they are placed on rotation as well. The youth that are willing to assist must be between the ages of 11 and 17. Now, our requirement is anyone 11 and 12 must volunteer with a parent or guardian. Anyone 13 to 17 may volunteer without their parent or guardian with the additional adults in the classroom. So we love our youth, and we're thankful for their willingness to step up. So thankful for that. We have a wonderful, wonderful group of volunteers that just love on these children and share the love of Christ with them and read the texts that we have available, and we're thankful for what they do. As I previously mentioned, we do continue to need new volunteers to assist during worship hour, during our evening service, as well as on special events. So those are our main needs: worship hour, evening service, and special events. Parents, we also wanted to take this opportunity to go over our wellness policy, because we're getting into that season. We want to make sure that everybody's aware of what's in our family policy regarding child wellness. The church is dedicated to the health and well-being of the children that participate, and as well as the volunteers. Volunteers have the right to refuse a child basis on their symptoms. In addition, the church reserves the right to request clearance by a family physician before allowing them to return to child care. So I'll give you some of the guidelines that we have in our family policy. A child shall not be placed in child care when they have any of the following symptoms: fever higher than 100.4 degrees orally or temporally, or 99 degrees axillary. Children must be fever-free 24 hours without the use of fever-reducing medication before acceptance into child care. Also, we ask, please do not drop your children off if they have nausea or vomiting or diarrhea within the last 24 hours. Any colored nasal discharge, sore throats, a wet cough or like a croupy barking cough, any unexplained rash or open skin lesion, any infection such as boils, ringworm, and any eye infection or drainage, and any communicable disease or infestation such as lice. So also if they look or act like they're tired or pale or just irritable or restless, we may ask you not to drop them off into childcare. So these are some of our protocols. If you have any questions or concerns, and also if you have a child that is not feeling well and you weren't aware of it, please let me know and contact myself or even Alex, and he can let me know just so we can make sure that everyone stays well in our little area. So I had a lot of information. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, good. So if you need me or you need anything, the office has my number. I can give you my number. And also, Alex can reach out to me as well. So thank you so much. I hope you have a great day.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see all of you here. That it's an encouragement to my heart when I see people that don't necessarily have children in maybe the younger groups or in the nursery, but that they have desired to come and that they can learn ways that they can pray for us and pray for those that are teaching. My name is Andrea Allen, and both, you'll hear from Andrew Cartledge in just a few minutes after me. So we are the Sunday school coordinators for Emmanuel Church, and we help serve the pre-K, so three-year-old, all the way to eighth graders. So we organize the curriculum, we organize the teachers, the structure of the classrooms. So there's a lot of thought, communication, and prayer that go between Andrew and I, but then also we gather information from the teachers, from spouses, of what would be best for the students and just how we can love on them this year. I just wanna say that we are really excited about this coming Sunday school year. Andrew's gonna be able to come soon and talk about the class structure and the curriculum. And we're doing something new, so we're really excited about that. I wanted to let you guys know, we started this church with six kids, and we are now, as I counted last night, around 80, going all the way from the nursery through to the high school seniors. And that number just continues to keep growing. So we have a huge privilege and opportunity, and as Pastor Alex just said, we really do view this as a privilege to be able to share the gospel every single Sunday with the children here. Whether they be, we do not assume them all to be Christians at this point. And even the ones that are, they need to be encouraged with the gospel. We each, all of us, that's why we come to the adult equip hours, because we need to hear the gospel and how we're supposed to live. And so we're excited that we have the opportunity to share every Sunday with 80 people that would be the next generation for our church and for our communities. Next Sunday is our promotion Sunday, so that first Sunday in September will be what we consider promotion Sunday. The only exception to that for this next week will be the 7th and 8th graders. We want them to be in on Rex's class on Mormonism, since they will be dealing and interacting with many different people, and we want them to understand what Mormonism is and what it is not, and how they can have communication and conversations with friends in the community. But with Permission Sunday, our goal is always to have something fun, so like coffee, juice, donuts, that kind of stuff. So at 8:30, we will start with that. So, but Equip Hour will start, and the younger Sunday school classes will all start at 9:15. So come at 8:30, get some fellowship, get coffee, donuts, juice, have fun, and then everybody will be able to get to and transition to their classes on time by 9:15. I personally, as the coordinator, want to thank all the teachers that have stepped up over the last 5 years and who have served in this capacity. It is a privilege to work alongside each one of them, and right now only a few of them are even sitting in this group right now, because they're actually still working with the youth as we can have this time. So we have people, your brothers and sisters, that aren't in here now because they are still actively serving the youth here. So I want to publicly thank them for all that they have done, and that these classes wouldn't happen without them volunteering. I also wanted you guys to see that serving in this capacity in the church is a privilege and it is an honor, but it's also exhausting work. So anytime that you're doing something for the gospel, Satan is right there, and our own flesh rises up. So those things are real. And so as you think about these teachers, as I tell you who are the teachers, please think about them, pray for them, encourage them. You know, we tend to hear all the negative stuff sometimes, not always all the positive things. So find them. Find out who is teaching your sons and daughters. Find out who's serving in the nursery. And be an encouragement to them, because it is exhausting work. When you come to an end of a long week and you are hopefully preparing as you can, and then on Sundays or Saturdays you're preparing, and you're coming in Sunday, and you're not coming just being filled up, you're coming to expend some of it to these children. And so I would just encourage all of you to think through that way, and then learn just to be in a regular prayer for them, just as we would encourage you to be praying for our elders and deacons and anybody else who serves in the church in any capacity. They need to be filled up and encouraged. We do view this as a high calling, but because, like I said, it is exhausting, we set up our terms differently. So we have two terms of teachers. So our year-long teachers serve from September to May, and they serve every week, but they give themselves rotations, as I'll tell you, who are in those classes, so that there's not just one heavy burden on one teacher for all of those weeks. But then we have teachers who have gracefully come in on the summertime, and that has been a huge help, so that during the summer, the teachers that are year-long teachers can actually be in the equip hour, and they can come and get fed and fueled and refilled, so that they can then, if they choose to come back the following year, then they can be energized and excited to be able to step back into the classroom with those students. So those serve June, July, and August for us. And that has been, from coming from a church where I served year-round for 12 years, having it differently where there's someone coming in at summertime and you get a reprieve, it was a huge blessing to me personally, and I hope that our teachers have found it as a blessing as well. So this year, we are able to split the classes a little bit differently, because as we have more kids, we need to split them. And then because of the change of our curriculum, we've been able to split them differently as well. And so as you think through these teachers and pray for them, we have a 3-year-old to kindergarten class, so it's the 3s, 4s, and 5-year-olds. Laura Cartledge, Mary Pat Ray, and Sydney McConnon are going to be the teachers for that class. And so you can be praying for them. We also have a 1st through 3rd grade class, and that's going to have Jamie Castleberry, Caroline Fleischer, Carrie Pemberton, and Amber Walsh will be the teachers of that class. Then we have the 4th through 6th grade class, and that will be Lydia Shively, Lakin Harris, and myself will be teaching that class. And then we have a 7th and 8th grade class, who will be David Ray, and then Kurt and Stephanie Kissinger. Like I said, please be praying for these brothers and sisters. Also, we have, Lord willing, in the next few weeks, we will have bookmarks. We've done this in the last few years, where you will get a bookmark that will say Emmanuel Church, and you'll have a child's name, and they're either age or grade, and you can get one of those bookmarks, and you can be faithfully praying for that student throughout the year. So in the next couple weeks, once those come in, Andrew and I will be in the back, and we'll probably just pass it out to you after class. But that will be, you can stick that bookmark in your Bible, and as you have your quiet times, you can be praying for them. We also encourage you that if you know the parents, or if it's an older child, you can specifically go to them and say, hey, I got your name to be praying for. Is there anything specific that I can be praying for you? If it's a younger child, you can ask the parent that. But this is a way for you guys to get connected with the youngest in our congregation and to be faithful to them. Just to highlight a few things, Melissa's already done a great job of this, of the family policy manual. If you're ever wanting to know what our family policy manual says, it is on our website. So you can just go to the top and talks about resources, drop down, and you'll find it there. If you don't and can't find it, text the office or call the office. No, you can ask me too, but she can probably help you a little bit better. But safety for the children is a top priority here. So there's always gonna be 2 to 3 teachers in each classroom. We do annual background checks on all of the workers, nursery all the way through to our high school. So anybody that's going to be working at youth in any capacity will have to have a background check. They do have to be members of the church. We do have a check-in policy that anyone up through sixth grade has to be checked in, and it has more to do with how our classes are structured, that we believe that it's better for parents to know exactly where those students are and that they come and get them out of the classrooms versus roaming the building. So all the way through sixth grade, you're going to be checked in. Like Melissa said, in her fall season is around the corner. Some of the things that happen in nursery are not the same with older kids, you know, because we can learn how to cover our mouths and we know how to wash our hands and those kind of things. But I do want to reiterate that if you have any type of GI sickness or illness in your family, it is extremely contagious. And if you have a large family, it goes through that family and then they're out for weeks on end. So if you have a child that has any like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, please keep them home. We don't really want to have to tell you not to have them here, but we also want to keep the health of the church up. And also fever, a lot of people realize that if you take ibuprofen or Tylenol and it brings the fever down, that that's fine and that they can still come. And then maybe their child is feeling better because the Motrin is working or the ibuprofen is working and all of a sudden they have all their energy back. But then in a couple hours they crash and then they're crashing in the Sunday school classes. So just know that the way that that is that actually doesn't mean your child is well. Your child is well if they've been 24, 48 hours without any of that medication and have all their energy back and they are not having those symptoms. So we just ask that that's just being courteous and loving to the rest of the people in those classes. But now Andrew is gonna come and kind of continue the rest of our time.
Thanks, Andrea. Sorry, getting over a cold. Good morning, my name is Andrew Cartledge. Like Andrea said, I am one of the co-directors of our children's program. I'm gonna run through a couple things this morning. I'm gonna tell you guys what our curriculum is and what that morning looks like, so you guys are aware of what we're going through and what we're teaching the kids here at our church. So we're actually changing our curriculum and we are starting a new curriculum that is the Gospel Story curriculum. It's written by Marty Michalski. He's a pastor up in Pennsylvania. And this curriculum is a 3-year overview of the stories of Scripture. So there'll be 78 stories from the Old Testament and 78 stories from the New Testament. And the goal with this is that kids respond, and adults, respond well to stories. And so our goal in presenting these stories is to teach them theology through these stories, to teach them the character of God, to teach them his faithfulness, to teach them that man is sinful, that we need a redeemer. And the curriculum does a really nice job in emphasizing redemptive history as fulfilled in Jesus. So what that means is that every story that we teach on Sunday morning has a talking point of how that story connects to Jesus. And so it's a similar approach to what we've been doing this Sunday or this summer in our Sunday morning service, is that we're taking Old Testament passages and seeing how Jesus is the fulfillment of these. And so our goal is that each Sunday, our kids will hear the gospel. They'll hear stories about who God is. They'll hear stories about Cain and Abel. They'll hear stories about David and Goliath. But they'll see how these stories are fulfilled in Jesus and the gospel we presented to them to give them plenty of opportunities to hear the truth of Jesus. And so the curriculum does a really nice job in summarizing who Jesus is and bringing it down into everyday stories, the stories of the Bible. Another benefit of this curriculum is that it is the same for every age group. So the first week, we're studying the creation. Pre-K, 1st through 3rd, and 4th through 6th grade will all be studying the creation. And so this does a couple things, is that it helps the parents. Really, if you have a lot of kids, and they have kids through all these ages, it simplifies it so they know exactly what to talk about with their kids. And so they don't have to go through all of their three kids and talk about what did you learn and what did you learn and what did you learn. And now they have so many things that they have to think about and how to train their kids. It just, it's a way to simplify it for the parents so that they can just have one story to remember. And so as we'll talk about, there's some resources that I'm gonna offer that go along with the curriculum. And so it just simplifies it and makes it easy, because as Alex said, our goal is to support the parents in doing the work of ministry. And so we wanted to make it as easy as possible for the parents to take the resources that we're doing on Sunday morning and implement them into their family, so that through the Lord, through the Spirit's work, that these kids will come to know the truth of Jesus. So some curriculum resources. There is, Marty Michalski also wrote the Gospel Story Bible, which actually has 78 stories from the Old Testament and 78 from the New. And so it corresponds exactly with the curriculum that we'll be doing. So this is a great resource. And we actually, for whoever would like, we have a sign-up sheet in the underneath the missionaries. There's a table with a sign-up sheet for this story Bible. It's $17.50 if the parents would like to purchase one. By the end of next Sunday, we plan on placing that order. So think about it today, or sign up next week. But at the end of Sunday next week, on September 4th, we're planning on making this purchase. And if you would like a copy, whether you're a parent or not, feel free to sign up for that. Another resource I don't have with me this morning is Marty Michalski also wrote two books. There's the Long Story Short and the Old Story New. One is on the Old Testament and one is on the New Testament. And this is kind of like a homeschool curriculum for the parents to walk through throughout the week to kind of give the parents more resources to talk through with their kids. I will say that it's geared more towards a fourth through sixth grade age. So if your kids are in the fourth and through sixth grade and you would like to have that resource, that is also available. That is publisher, thank you. The publishers is New Growth Press. So if you go to newgrowthpress.com, you can type that in. You can even just search for Marty Michalski and these resources should come up. Any questions on the curriculum before we move into our next section? Seventh or eighth grade, yes. So this curriculum is only through pre-K through sixth grade. So our seventh through eighth graders will actually be doing a lot of different things through the course of these 3 years. But for this first year, they will be studying the book of Mark. And so we're excited for our seventh through eighth graders to go through the book of Mark. And again, as the kids are learning who Jesus is through the whole Bible, the seventh and eighth graders will be looking at who is Jesus from the Gospel of Mark. And I'm excited for David Ray and for Kurt and Stephanie Kissinger to teach the book of Mark. I think it'll be a really great time for those seventh and eighth graders. Okay, so that's our curriculum. Before we get into the curriculum in our actual classes, we have an opening time. In our opening time includes a couple things. First, we are implementing a hymn of the month. And so each classroom will be doing a hymn of the month to learn that the songs that we sing up here on Sunday morning, to learn the truth of the songs. It gives the teachers an opportunity to teach through some of the songs that use weird words like ineffable and other words like that kids don't know about. And so it gives an opportunity for the teachers to kind of walk through, and so the kids understand what they're singing at the same time as they're learning the melody to be able to join us on Sunday morning, so that they know that the Sunday morning service is not just for the adults, it's also for them too, and so they can participate. We're also doing scripture memory with the kids. That'll rotate about every couple weeks depending on how long the passage is. And so we'll have Hymn of the Month, Scripture Memory. We also have a catechism. And we have our own brand new catechism. Alex has so graciously written 20 questions for us, which will last through the school year. We'll do a question every 2 weeks, and we will have this printed out for the teachers and for the parents. But if you would even just like a copy for your own personal reference, please let me know, and I can make one available for you. I can either give, I'll print one out for you and have one available for you as well. So we're excited to go through a new catechism that Alex has written. One of the reasons we decided to ask Alex, or he volunteered to write this for us, is the ones that we were going through, the language was a little difficult, especially for our first through third graders to understand. The sentence structure was very complex. They used some older, bigger language, bigger words. And so we wanted to make it a way that it was more accessible for the teachers to teach and more accessible for the kids to understand. And so the goal of this is to follow closely to the Westminster Confession or Westminster Catechism, but adapt it for ourselves as Baptists, but also make it a little more accessible and update the language a little bit. So most of this is taken and adapted from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The last thing we do in our opening time is we have a time of prayer. We want to teach our kids that not only is Bible memory important, not only is singing important, not only is learning about theology important, but talking to God is important too. And so in our prayer time, we have a couple different aspects that we want to walk through with our kids. One is we pray for our church. We want to teach our kids that our church is important. So we spend time praying for our church service every morning, every Sunday morning when we have children's Sunday school. We also pray for our missionaries who are both here in the United States but also abroad who are spreading the gospel. We want our kids to see the importance of the gospel and to pray for the people who are doing the work of the ministry. We also strive to show them how to pray for the Bible. And so our goal is to have prayers that reflect the scripture memory that they're going through. And so we're going to be having the teachers lead them through praying the Bible. And how do I pray the Bible? Well, you know, and to show them, to give them examples so that when they learn how to pray, they know that they are praying scripture back to God. And the last thing we pray for is just taking requests from kids to know, so they know that their requests are important, and so that they know that they can talk to God about the things that are in their lives, even if that is just, you know, my brother pinched his leg in his car seat this morning. And so teach them that these little things are important and God wants to hear. And so that is what our opening time entails and includes. And so that kind of covers that whole Sunday morning for our children, from the opening time to the curriculum as we walk through that. Any questions on that? Yes. Yes, that is the goal. I have not communicated that with Scott yet, but I'm sure that he can work that in. Yes, so that's the goal, is to have them. And all of the hymns that we have scheduled for this year are hymns that we have sung in the past. So yes, that's definitely. Any other questions? All right, last thing that I have is we send out a weekly email, as Alex mentioned. We send out a weekly email for the parents. We sent one out this past week. If you are a parent and you did not receive this, we have a sign-up sheet, again, in the back. We also have another sign-up sheet down by the check-in. Please write your name and email address so we can get that to you. It includes a lot of the information that we do each week. And so whatever story we're teaching your children will be on that email. And it'll have some other teaching points and some other resources for you as well. So again, if you are a parent and did not receive that email, please sign up. If you are not a parent and you would like to know what's going on with the children's ministry, please sign up. We can easily send that to you. And you know what? That is a great resource for you as our church members. If you're aware of what the kids are learning and they come up after the service or they're up here after the service, and you can ask them, hey, what did you learn about that God provided how God provided food and water for Israel today. And they can answer and they can talk about that, and that is a great way for you to minister to the kids and help us as parents to teach our kids the truth. And so if you are not a parent and you would like to get this email, there is a sign-up sheet, again, back under the missionaries and also in the check-in downstairs. So that is all I have. I'm going to turn it over to Brad for our youth.
So my name is Brad Kennison, and I help to oversee both the Children's Sunday School and the youth ministry for the church. As the high school youth will well know, don't always end on time, but today I'm going to guard our time, and we are going to end on time since I am closing here. I want to share, just to start, two verses and then a word of encouragement to you, our church family. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherd teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Of the work of ministry, Paul says, is the domain of the saints. What that means is that the work of youth ministry at Emmanuel Church is also the domain of the saints. And I just want to take a moment to thank you all for your labors, your efforts, your investment in the ministry to the youth over the last year. I want to thank you all, to every one of you who have served the youth by praying for them faithfully, by opening up your homes and hosting the youth, by helping to plan and chaperone events, teaching in the classroom, being panel members, sitting in panel discussions and letting the youth bombard you with all kinds of questions that you were not prepared for but graciously handled, for providing food, and then for talking to youth before and after our weekly gatherings. All of these are significant ways that you, the church family, have invested in the youth over the last year. You planted and watered, and by God's grace, we have seen growth happen among our youth this past year, which has been a great encouragement to us. And I just want to share a few encouragements from the last year. First, we have seen eager involvement from the youth in all of our youth gatherings. It's been really, I think, a unique year and a growing year as far as the level of engagement of the youth in our gatherings. Second, a number of the youth have been engaged in personal discipling relationships with older brothers and sisters from the church. Third, we had a wonderful local missions trip where we had the privilege of serving some excellent ministries and being able to serve people in our community through those ministries. During that week, we studied the Bible's teaching about joy, and we saw the youth grow together in a special way as well. Fourth, our Sunday school class over the last year has enjoyed a very fruitful and rich study of the book of Romans. And then fifth, most importantly, most encouragingly, by God's grace, we've seen a number of the youth over the last year profess faith in Christ and evidence that profession with fruit in their lives. It's been profoundly encouraging to see that over the past year, and we praise the Lord for it. I want to give an update on a couple of areas of our ministry to the youth. The first will be our Sunday school, and then the second will be our monthly youth gatherings. More shortly, just an update on the Sunday school. Our Sunday school for the youth meets every Sunday morning at 9:15 in the classroom out there in the hallway left. It's the second door on the right, has youth on the sign outside the door. We gather there at 9:15 and have an hour of training every Sunday morning. And this is something that we as a church have structured, have set in place in order to disciple our youth. Think about it. Every Sunday for 52 weeks in the year, we have an hour of their time. And we are able to invest in thinking about and talking about eternal things. That adds up. I mean, that's significant, week in, week out, for an hour over the course of the year. Just a second point of update with the Sunday school. We've greatly benefited from the addition of two new teachers for our youth Sunday school. Hunter Hobart and Johnny Harris are now teaching alongside of me in the Sunday school class. And I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, pray for Hunter and Johnny and myself as we open up, explain, and try to apply the Bible week in and week out on Sunday mornings. And then our last update is for this fall. We are starting a new class on the church's confession of faith, which is the abstract of principles, which is a rich summary of many of the major doctrines of the Bible. And it's the confession of faith that anyone who would wish to join Emmanuel Church would have to affirm. And so we want to walk through that with the youth. Some of them are already members and have affirmed it. We want to see them grow in their understanding of these core and essential doctrines. And for those among the youth who are not yet members of the church, we want them to understand what they would be saying they believe if they join this local church gathering. So pray this fall as we study the abstract of principles that it would be fruitful for the youth. Now let me transition and give an update on our monthly youth gatherings. So in the past, our youth ministry has been structured around one official monthly gathering, which is on the fourth Sunday of the month. And then we would sporadically add on extra social events or occasional Bible studies. Well, over the past 4 or 5 months, we've had more consistent regular gatherings with the youth, averaging about a couple of times a month where we're getting together, either here at the church or in a family's home from the church. And those extra gatherings have been so fruitful, so encouraging. They have, I believe, helped and fed the spiritual growth of the youth, and then also help them to grow together in relationship with each other and with different members from our church as they've been in and out of different homes in the church. Been very encouraging to have those extra gatherings. And we think there's just such great value to those gatherings. We want to see those continue. And so, therefore, we're going to codify that as something of the new rhythm, the new normal for our youth ministry. So instead of having just the one official gathering on the fourth Sunday of the month, we're going to have 3 gatherings on the schedule each month. 2 of them will be kind of just the standard youth gathering like the fourth gathering. Those will be on the second Sunday evening and the fourth Sunday evening. And then the third gathering will be a Bible study on the third Sunday afternoon of the month at 3:45, right before our evening service starts at 5 p.m. So we'll meet from 3:45 to 4:45 and then come in and join the evening service. So those will be that will be the new structure. Those will be the new gatherings starting in September. So second Sunday gathering, fourth Sunday gathering, and then a third Sunday Bible study. The second Sunday gathering is going to be very simple to the fourth Sunday gathering, very similar to the fourth Sunday gathering, except that we want that gathering as often as possible to take place in the home of different families in the church. So if you have a home, and you don't have to have a youth in high school years to volunteer your home, if you have a home that you would like to offer for the youth ministry to gather in and to use, please reach out to me or Lydia Shibley and let either of us know. So Lydia Shibley is going to be the one who's primarily responsible for organizing that second Sunday gathering in the homes. So if you reach out to Lydia or to me, we'll put together a list and then we'll get a schedule for having those gatherings in the homes of members over the course of the year. And those second Sunday gatherings are going to be focused on fellowship and usually a time of testimony. It doesn't have to be from the person who's hosting. We'll probably ask a brother or sister from the church to come in and share about how the Lord has worked and shown grace to them in their experience in life. And then the fourth Sunday, we'll continue to gather here at the church. The third Sunday Bible study is going to start. The very first one will be on Sunday, September 14th, I believe. Correction, 18th is the Sunday. September 18th will be our first study. And so we're going to start a study through the Proverbs this fall and then the Psalms in the winter. And so over this next 12 months, we're going to work through the Proverbs and then the Psalms during those monthly gatherings. Pray that time would be beneficial and helpful to the youth. Lastly, I just want to share some ways that you all as a church family can serve the youth and then ways you can pray for the youth. So how can you, the church, serve our youth individually and serve our youth ministry as a whole? First, I just encourage you, do what so many of you already do, and talk to the youth before and after the services. Whenever we gather, go and break in on a gathering of youth. And birds of a feather flock together. It's likely you're going to see, you know, a whole grouping of people in their generation hanging out. Break it up. Don't break it up. Join in. And get to know them. Ask them personal and spiritual questions. A second, You can serve the youth by considering investing in and discipling youth one-on-one. We've had a number of members of our church who've done that over the past year. It's been so fruitful, so helpful to those youth. Each and every one of them who've engaged in a relationship like that have been so helped by it and have just spoken prolifically about how encouraging it has been to them. Third, again, let me or Lydia know if you're willing to offer your home for that second Sunday youth gathering. Fourth, meals for youth gatherings. We could use some help coordinating meals for our monthly youth gatherings. Not only does Melissa Clark lead our Sunday school or our nursery ministry, she also helps to coordinate food for our youth gatherings, and that's only been one time a month. Now that we're having two official gatherings every month where we're providing food for the youth, she could use some help, some extra volunteers. So if you're willing to help coordinate, emphasis on that word, coordinate, you are not being asked to make all these meals yourself. This is going to look like being the one who's involved in placing maybe a pizza order and making sure that food shows up on time and at the right place for a youth gathering, or sending out, creating a meal plan to send out a needs request to the families of the youth to bring a potluck meal in for the youth. But I just wanted to alleviate any anxiety that you would be asked to do all the cooking. You will not. Fifth, and finally, let me know if you are interested in serving the youth ministry in any other way that I haven't articulated here. If ministering to youth is something that you have experience with or a passion for, or just an area you would like to grow in and invest in, please let me know. If you're interested in any other way, shape, or form, whether that is one-on-one counseling or teaching or event planning, coordination, et cetera, just please let me know. Lastly, let me share some ways that you can pray for the youth. Just praise God. I mean, we ought to not be quick to forget what the Lord has done. We should praise God for the work that he's done in bringing a large number of the youth, to the point of joyfully following him in faith. Pray especially for those who are newer in the faith to grow in their love for Christ and his word. Second, pray for the youth to form Christ-centered friendships where they spur one another on. Third, pray for the youth to form discipling relationships with older members in the church. Fourth, pray for Hunter, Johnny, and myself as we open up and explain and apply the Word of God week in and week out throughout the year. And then fifth, pray for our gatherings and Bible studies to help the youth grow in their walk with Christ. Ben, can I ask you, brother, to close our time in prayer?
Thank you all for presenting on that. Let's go ahead and let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to bless the efforts of these folks. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have as your people, not just to know you, but to be engaged in the work of helping others to know you. We thank you for the young people that you have placed in this assembly. We recognize it as a providence, a decision that you have made. And we ask that you would please continue to help us to not just take that seriously, but to leverage the gifts and the abilities that you've granted to us as a body of believers, and that we would seek to instruct these young minds. And we pray, Lord, that you would please encourage the work of all of those who are already engaged in this work, that you would help them not to be discouraged, that you would help them not to be wearied, and that you would help them to be encouraged that your hand is with them. We ask that you would continue to give fruit, that you would please cause the seeds that they try to sow and the things that they try to water, that you would create growth, that you would please save young people in this church from the sins in their hearts. We ask that you would please help those of us who are less engaged to consider ways that we can be engaged. And we ask that you would help us to be faithful and that we would do it out of a love for Christ, not out of a guilt that we're not doing enough to please you. We would do it because we love you. We want you to be known. We want these young people to know you and to love you and to do the same thing as they grow. We pray that you would please help the young people in this church to grow with a healthy understanding of their relationship with you and what it means to be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We pray that you would help them to grow into adults who are faithful and who are encouragers of others and teachers of others. Please bless us in the hour to come. May our worship be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.